lesson series that we're looking at here is how to for those who want to. How to for those who want to. James chapter 3, and we'll get there in just a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we come before your presence because you've invited us to. And so, Lord, we just want to draw close to you and just hug up with you and to sit in your presence for a moment in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts, your Holy Spirit would convict us, comfort us, and challenge us here this day as we look to your word. It's been preserved all these many years, and you brought us to this point in time in this particular passage for a purpose and a reason, and I pray that it is to bear good fruit for you as we change and adhere to the truths that we hear today as well, so that we can be good stewards of your word and the life for which you have provided us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. James chapter 3, how to know if you're wise or otherwise. Can you remember when you first began to drive? Now, some of us got to think way back. It might have been the horse. But, you know, when we first began to drive, you know, you went to the classes or the courses, you know, they do now. Back then, they didn't have, you know, driver's ed in my day. And so, you know, somebody taught you and they trained you. They explained things to you. You got in the automobile and said, you know, here's this, the part and this part and that part, you know, and all the things, the components of it. And you said, oh, that's no problem. Piece of cake, not a problem. And you go to start driving and you're thinking, well, it's a little more problematic than I thought. At least your parents probably could testify to that fact. You probably thought you were doing okay. And so run up over a curb here and there, it's no big deal, right? And so there you go. And back into something. And so, but hopefully, you know, the more you drove, the better some of you became. I've seen some of you drive. And so some of you are still practicing and training there. But some of you have progressed right along. And so most folks drive fine until it begins to snow. Boy, something happens, you know, when it begins to snow. You know, we seem to forget everything that we've learned through all those years of driving, you see. And so the Christian life is a lot like driving as well. The more that we learn and live God's Word, the better we are to able to negotiate life's turns and decisions and until it snows. Until it snows and then trials come and pressures build and then we forget, you know, everything that we've ever learned and we fall back into the old ways of life. And just like when we're driving in the snow, some people, you know, they hit the brakes, you know, and they get all panicky and they change gears and some of them will even stop right in the middle of the road. And so sometimes that's what we do in our Christian walk as well. Everything just goes out the window, all of those things that we've heard and learned and trained for and memorized and all of those things. Now, since none of us can drive the road of life perfectly, God offers divine direction and heavenly help for our lives. We need to learn to live according to His wisdom. Now, wisdom, what is wisdom? Okay, wisdom is more than knowledge. It's more than understanding. Knowledge is those things that you can get in the public school system to some degree. And then you go off to college and, you know, 12, 16 years, you know, and you gain all this wealth of knowledge, so to speak. And so, but wisdom is not just book learning and diplomas on the wall, nor is it just understanding. I can understand how gravity works, okay? Wisdom is not that. You throw something up, it's going to come back down. I mean, it's pretty simple. I can understand how that works. Some people can understand why airplanes can fly up in the sky, you know, and get to a certain destination and as big as and heavy as they are. And so, but I don't understand that. But some people can understand. Wisdom is not just understanding either. Wisdom is this. Wisdom is the ability to take a body of truth, okay, some knowledge, And to begin to understand how it might work, and then take it and apply it to your life. Amen. To take hold of it and allow it to change who you are. Primarily, we're talking about God's Word. Okay? The wisdom that James speaks of here is God's practical skills for everyday life. And so James asks a question here in verse 13, James chapter 3 and 13. And he says, who is a wise man? And so if we were to look around the room, I mean, we might be able to point to some that say, well, I think they're pretty wise. Now, again, we're not talking about the one who has the most degrees in school. But a wise man who's able to take this, they've learned it, they can understand what it says and why it was written, but they're the ones who take it and apply it to their lives. Somehow we don't get that far sometimes. And so this is what James is telling us here in James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Many consider themselves to be wise. They wanted to be teachers. That's what James 3 verse 1 said. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. You know why they were receiving a greater condemnation from God? It's because they knew it. They understood it. They were able to teach it and to relay it, but they weren't practicing it. When they went out in the world, when they left the church house, they just lived just like the rest of the world. It did not take hold in their life, but they could teach it. And so he says, be careful in if that's where you're at in this, because you'll receive a greater condemnation. There's no doubt that they had a great wealth of knowledge, even Bible knowledge. But James says, you will know a wise man. And he's been telling them this all along. He says in verse 13, a wise man, who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. Here he says, show again. You remember, he just got through telling us in chapter 2. He says, show me your faith by without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You see? Because their faith wasn't accomplishing anything here. And he says, you want to know a wise man, somebody who knows this, somebody who understands this, and somebody that practices this? He says, that let him show out of a good conversation. Is what he says. Now, that doesn't mean that we sit around and we talk about hunting or fishing or golf, you know, and that's good conversation, I guess it might be, but he's not talking about that conversation, mouth, just the mouth. He's talking about your behavior. He's talking about your manner of life, your conduct is what he's talking about here, is the fact that what you know and what you're teaching here is making a difference in your life for the good. It's good conversation or a good lifestyle, or rather a godly lifestyle is what he's talking about here. But it doesn't always happen because, you know, he also told us in chapter 1, he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And that's what Brother Robert was talking about in Sunday school this morning as well. And so he said, and not only do they have a good conduct in life and a good mannerisms or godly mannerisms in life, and we're going to talk about what those are here in just a moment, but he also says, with meekness of wisdom. That is, they've got a gentle spirit. You go out in our world today, you go to Walmart, you go here, you go there, you go out, and so what's wrong with everybody? Everybody's angry, are they not? Everybody's like, give me my space and get out of my way, you know, type of an attitude by which they have. And nobody's happy anymore. Nobody smiles. And so they're just uptight and tense. We're going to find out why here in just a moment. James is going to hit on this. But he's talking about a wise man is somebody who takes and applies God's word to their life, lets it change their life for the good and for God's glory, and they do so with a nice, meek attitude when you're around them. God is present in their life. This is what he's talking about here. You remember what they were doing when the heat was turned up in chapter 1? Because, you know, right off the bat in verse 2, you know, right in his letter here, he says, oh, you know, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You know, the different problems in life as well. And the heat was turned up. Primarily, it was a financial situation we gained from several different things here. And so the heat was turned up, and so What was happening? They quit praying. They were giving in to their temptations. They were angry at God as well. They were playing favorites to the rich. You remember, they ushered the rich man right down front and told the poor man, go and sit wherever you want to. If you want to, you can just go on home because we don't care. There's a rich man here. And so they were going to cater to them. And then we just looked at the first part of chapter 3 here, that they were speaking with a forked tongue. In other words, and so they would be in church and they would praise and high five God, you know, and amen and hallelujah. And then they go out and talk just like the world does. And he says, these things ought not to be so. He said, where's the evidence? And he's always asking for the evidence. Where's the change? Where's the change? You say that you're saved, but where's the change in your life? And he says, where is the wise man endowed with this knowledge? Knowledge that they can take and use it in their everyday life. That makes an impact in their life and the life of those round about them as well. He said, that's the person who is wise. They had taken a wrong turn on the road of life and they were way off course. And when it came to living according to God's wisdom, they were preachers of the word, but not participants in God's word. They didn't apply it to their lives. And so James says, a wise person is not known by his degrees hanging on the wall, but rather by his good works according to the salvation at work in his life and what was going on. And so he said, you'll be able to see it. Life wasn't easy, so they quit going God's way. Now, they didn't leave church. Come on in. They didn't leave church. They simply quit living for God. That's what happened. Too many believers leave out the principles and priorities of God's word when they begin to suffer the trials in their life. What we need in our homes, our schools, and our churches more than anything else is men and women who will learn to live and to love God's word in their life. Now, there's two sources. We're going to take a look here at James is in this passage of scripture in which we're at here. Two sources by which you can go to become wise. Two sources. Let's take a look. First thing we have here, how do you know if you're wise in God's eyes? Well, if you're wise in God's eyes, you've discovered where to look for wisdom. You have discovered where to look for wisdom. Now, if I were looking to purchase a new ring for my wife, okay? A new ring. And so she'd fall over dead if I actually did. But we're going to, you know, if I decided I'm going to purchase a new ring for my wife, depending on where I went to shop, might determine the quality and the cost of that ring. In other words, if I went to the dollar store and bought the $3 ring, I mean, it's a dollar store, so I didn't buy the bottom of the line. Okay, I got a $3 ring at the dollar store. You know, well, that's not bad. But if I go to Jared, I say, oh, he went to Jared. And so do you see the difference here? God's people don't like to shop up here. We shop down here in the bargain. I'm not talking bad about Dollar General, okay, the dollar store. But we don't shop up here in God's Word for the wisdom. We shop down in here in the bargain basement bottom of the world to get our wisdom. We like it down there. That's what we're comfortable with. Why? Because that's what we were born with. That's soul sin nature that is within us. And so that's the kind of wisdom that we have, this worldly wisdom that he's going to talk about here in just a moment. The kind of wisdom you have depends on where you shop. There are two kinds of wisdom from two sources that are different as night and day, oil and water. In order for you to become wise in God's eyes, you must know the right source. Where do you get your wisdom from? And I heard one preacher say this about wisdom and knowledge. He says knowledge, and this is truth as I looked at this, knowledge is learned. Knowledge is learned. The Bible says, you know, that we are to study to show thyself approved unto God. Is what it says. And so knowledge, you can learn these Bible verses. You can come in here, as Brother Robert was mentioned earlier in Sunday school, you can come in here and you can learn John 3:16. You can even understand what it might say. But unless you apply it to your life, then you're not wise. If that's all you have, is just the knowledge of it. It's up here. It's got to get into here, you see. And that's the problem. So knowledge, you can always continue learning and getting into this. And you're encouraged to get into this and learn and learn and learn what we find in here. Wisdom is given. Wisdom is given. Knowledge is learned. Wisdom is given. Take a look, chapter 1 and verse 5. Notice what we find. Because we're going to come back here a time or two again. Notice it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom comes from asking God. God gives it. God is the one who gives. What did he say? Jesus said, ask. Seek and seek a knock and ask. I got this all butchered up there. But that's what he said. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. And so it's in the asking. And he says, you know, and the problem is we don't ask most of the time. And so we think we've got it all under control, but it's about asking here. And that's what James says. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God will give it to you, because once you learn it, it's the first part, you have to learn it, understand it, and watch what God can do with it. God can make you, or allow you to apply it to your life, or show you how to apply that to your life. And this is what we're going to be talking about here today. Solomon asked God for wisdom, you remember? And so God went to Solomon and he says, hey, what is it that you want? I want to bless you. What do you want? And Solomon said, I want wisdom. God gave him a double portion. Oh, we just need to go to God to get this wisdom. Wisdom allows me to put into practice those things by which I learn. Let's take a look. Ask yourself here, if you're wise in God's eyes, do you avoid the human reasoning of this world? Do you avoid the human reasoning of this world? Look with me at verse 15. Now, we're going to skip around in these verses here. And he says in chapter 3 in verse 15, he says, this wisdom descendeth not. We're going to find out what that is here in just a minute. This wisdom that he's talking about descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Here's the wisdom here that he's talking about here is this human reasoning of the world that you can shop at, okay, for wisdom. And so there is a bargain basement, cheap counterfeit wisdom that does not come from above. And that's what he says in verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above. It does not come down from God. This wisdom, this source of wisdom here, James says that this lower reasoning here and understanding, this wisdom is what he said in verse 15. He said is earthly. The word earthly there means temporal. It means for the moment is what it is. This is the kind of wisdom that says if it feels good, do it. Don't worry about the consequences. We'll worry about that later. This is that temporary wisdom. Just do it. God wants you to be happy, doesn't he? No. God wants you to be holy. That's what God wants in your life. And holiness will bring about happiness and joy, which is better than happiness, because happiness comes and goes. And so, you know, this type of earthly wisdom says work overtime on Sunday to pay the bills rather than cut back on your spending. God's Word says cut back on the spending. But the world says just work more hours, and so keep spending and keep it going and keep it going. And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:19, wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And so he says, you don't want this kind of wisdom, but we shop here. We look around and see what the world is talking about, what the world is doing, and how what the world is talking about, and how the world's attitude is. And we begin to adopt and shop in that department of the store. And notice he goes on to say in verse 15, he said, not only is it earthly, it's also sensual as well. And that simply means natural or unspiritual. The Bible's full of this unspiritual wisdom, this foolish human reasoning. Tower of Babel. Folks gather around and say, hey, well, let's go meet God. And so I said, how you want to do that? And let's build a tower. That ought to work. Let's build a tall tower up to God. Well, how'd that work out for him? Yeah. And so could you imagine? We think, well, that's kind of stupid. That's kind of silly, is it not? Well, look at some of the stuff we do today. And thinking the same thing. David and Goliath, you know, David says, I'm going to go out and is there not a cause? I'll go. Send me, you know, and I'll go. And King Saul tall, head and shoulders above everybody else, a big man. And David was just a little ruddy boy. And King Saul says, "Oh, I've got here, take my armor. It's the best in the business, you see, because I'm the king, so I've got the best. And put this on you, and you take this. This will protect you." Human reasoning. David said, "I got the Lord. The Lord will protect me. That's what I need." You see, David was wise. Saul had this human reasoning here on this side over here. And so how about Satan? Satan said, "I will." This is because he talks about in the last part of verse 15. He said it's also devilish. It's from this type of wisdom that doesn't come from above, that's out here in this world. He said it's demonic. It's evil is what he said. Satan said, "I will build my throne upon above God. I will do this and I will do that." Look at chapter 4, verse 13. Notice what they're going to tell us here a few Sundays from now. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. I know how to get out of my financial troubles, and I'm going to go here, I'm going to buy, I'm going to sell, I'm going to go to the other place, I'm going to sell, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to do that. And then when I get done there, I'm going to come back, and you'll see that I was right, and I've got all of this money," and on it goes. He said, but there's no place for God in that, in his plans for life. That's human reasoning. I can do it. I can make it happen. That's the wisdom of the world. Stay out of the bargain basement of this world looking for wisdom. Take a look at the next point we find here in verse 17. Notice he says, or the question we have, do you accept the heavenly revelation of the word? Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above. So you've got wisdom that's down here, doesn't come from above. Now you've got wisdom that comes from above. And we're going to get back to this as long as time allows, and we'll get there. Wisdom that you want is from above. Why? Because above is where our heart and our hope and our help comes from. It comes from above. The Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Why? For ye died and your life is now hidden with Christ, he says. And so we've got to, you know, the Bible says, be ye not conformed to this world. That is the first human reasoning that we just talked about here and the way in which they want to live and apply things to their life. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Formed by the renewing of your mind, and that's getting into this. Getting the knowledge that we find in here, the understanding that the Spirit builds into our life, and then our desire to have God help us to apply it to our everyday life. This is how it works, by the renewing of your mind. The truth found in God's Word is not supposed to stay in your head. It's supposed to reach your feet. It's supposed to reach your hands. It's supposed to reach your tongue. And we just got finished with it last week, you know, it wasn't affecting their tongue at all. And he says, the wise man allows it to control and to guide and direct and affect every part of your life. That's when you become wise in God's eyes. Contrary to popular belief, the Bible is just not pie in the sky. It's for the here and now as well. Faith works. It works in your life. You and I must determine from which source that we're going to draw our wisdom. Bible says, blessed is the man. Psalm says this, Psalm 1 verse 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that is not in the wisdom, the advice of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The source of true wisdom is God. The wise don't settle for counterfeit when they can have the real thing. Let's move on. Second point. How do you know if you're wise in God's eyes? You'll demonstrate to live as wise. Okay? Now the first off here is you know where to look. Next, you're going to demonstrate, okay, how to live the Word of God in your life. And so let's take a look. Where you draw your wisdom will determine how you live in life. It'll affect the way in which you live. Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? Question that I have for you. How do you live? Do you forsake the secular methods of the world? Verse 14, take a look. Notice now, they were shopping in the bottom of the world here, the bottom or around in the world, this wisdom that descendeth not from above. And so what we find in verse 14, he says, this is what happens. This is the fruit of the one who, this is your life if you're not getting your wisdom from the Lord. Okay? This is what the kind of life they have. It says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This is what was going on in their life. This was the, you know, the word of God was in here. The understanding was there. But the application that they had down inside here was still of the world. And all this stuff was going on in their life. And they're wondering why. Why is it? Why can't I do this over here? If you learn from the world, you will adopt the world's methods. When you can't have your own way, you will fight for your rights and never forgive wrongs. You look out for number one and you will want to win at all cost in this world in which we live. This is what he's talking about here. When you learn from the world, you become selfish and self-centered because that's the way the world is. Along with bitter envy comes arrogance and prideful boasting as well. And he says in verse 14, he says, glory not. Don't be boasting. You got nothing to boast about. And brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that ought to get the attention in your life. They were tooting their own horn. They were bragging about their own worldly achievements and pointing out others' failures. You know, an ego trip. It's always a lonely, dead-end trip. They were choosing the commands they felt like doing in God's Word. I'll do this. It's like going to a buffet, you know. Instead of a Chinese buffet or, you know, a steakhouse buffet, they were going to a Bible buffet, you know. So I'll take one of these, and I don't want any of that. And can you put some pepper on this one? And can you take this off the top of that one, you see, with God's Word, you know, and all the teachings and commands that He had. And so they wanted to pick and choose as to what they wanted. And so they went to the mirror of God's Word, and they would change what they wanted, and they would twist the commands, and then they would it would make themselves look a whole lot better now. Because now it fits as to the kind of life in which I want to live, the parts and pieces that I want to live in my life. And Paul said, there is among you envy and strife and divisions. He says, are you not carnal and walk as men? Oh, it's a terrible thing to get in a church house, you know. You get some that are carnal-minded, worldly-minded, and think like the world does, rather than seeking the wisdom from the Lord. What a terrible thing it is. And so what's important is not how I feel, but what God says. Why? My feelings can change from day to day. God's Word is settled, and it stands forever. When you follow the wisdom of the world, you exalt self, and you rob glory from God. That's why He says, glory not! You're robbing God. We need believers that will forsake the world and follow the Word. And so let's take a look at the next one here. And so do you follow, you forsake the secular methods, but do you follow the spiritual manner of God's will in your life? Look at 17, verse 17. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Means clean. It means innocent. Look at chapter 1 and verse 27. Notice what he said. He says in chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affection and to keep themselves unspotted from the world. In other words, what he's saying here is that pure religion, that which is pure, that which comes from God is pure. It does not seek self, but it seeks to help others as God directs in your life, even though they may not have any means to help you in your own situation in life. You're doing it simply because God impressed upon you to take part in that person's life. He says, but where's it at? But he says, the wisdom from above directs you into those things in life. And then he goes on in verse 17. It's pure, it's peaceable and gentle. Did you remember what we just read in verse 14? They had bitter and envying and strife, and it was all that was going on in their house. You know, you ever go to somebody's house and you knock on the door, and they got a couple of small dogs in there, and they come all rushing to the door, and you try to go inside, you know, and you say, "Well, how have you been doing? I just thought I'd say," you can't get a word edgewise. And so this is what was going on in the lives of those who were seeking the worldly wisdom. Life was just full of strife and chaos. And it was, "I can't take it anymore," you see. Well, isn't that one of the reasons why we come to know Christ as Savior? Huh? He says the wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit as well. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. Wow. I don't know about you, but I could use some of that in my life. Those around me could use some of that coming off of me as well, could they not? Sure. And then he says, and without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy as well. That is, they were. He says, the wisdom from above will lead you to a life that is sincere, not fake, not false, no pretense. Listeners and learners and livers of the Word of God, not just hearers only, and pearls of wisdom that can be seen. The world says, get even. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. The world says, get revenge. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The world says, if your marriage is on the rocks, be happy. Get a new spouse. The Bible says, bring me what's broken and ask me to fix it for you. And so the world favors the rich so that we can gain from them. And God says, feed the poor. You see all of this? This is what God does in our lives. And it makes us, you know, not fake, but genuine followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, without hypocrisy, coming in, teaching, saying one thing, amen, and all of these things, and then going out in the world, living like the world. And so we've got to do better when you see God's people walking in wisdom, because it works just the opposite of human reasoning, because faith works. Faith in Christ, it works. When you choose to live by human reasoning rather than divine revelation, you're going to suffer. It'll be filled with envy and strife and confusion and chaos and all of these things, you know, that go on. But when you turn the pages of Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit for strength and to live out the things that you've learned and understand, no matter what you may be facing, no matter what you may be feeling, when you're on the road to spiritual wisdom, and on that road you will see God at work in your walk with Him. And others are going to see it as well. Something's different in your life. Why? It's because I'm living according to the wisdom of the Word. That's why. How do you know if you're wise in God's eyes? Last point. I'm out of time. Notice the fruit. Or notice that you'll delight in the life of wisdom. You're going to like the life of living according to the wisdom of God. And you find in His Word, in these principles, in these truths, and you memorize in these verses of Scripture and so forth, and God begins to work deep down in your heart, and out comes, you know, the apple tree produces apples, okay? And so a life that's living for the Lord, you know, a believer that's applying the Word, asking God to give them the wisdom to apply this in their life, will produce the same fruit in your life. Notice the fruit here, because we reap what we sow. Ask yourself in verse 16, are you suffering from the problems produced by man's wisdom? Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. When Christians live according to the world, things fall apart, and everyone is at everybody else's throat. Look at passage we're going to look at next week, chapter 4, verse 1. He says, From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts, that war in your own members, in your own body, so to speak? He said, this is where the strife and the war and the confusion and the anger and the animosity, you know, and the jealousy and all of this stuff, he said, it's coming from within. He says, because you're not growing wise in the Lord. You may know the Bible verses, but until you ask God, God, help me to apply them to my life because I want to live for you. He said, this is the kind of fruit that's going to bear in your life. You ever wonder why life is in such a mess sometimes? The fruit of worldly wisdom, James says, is confusion, disorder, instability. Some were coming from the world and they were coming into the church and instead of getting rid of the earthly wisdom, they learned and lived for so long, they simply came into the church, learned a few Bible verses, you know, and patched God's Word onto their old way of life. Come in here with the same old thinking, same old reasoning, and you know, how you do this and how do I do that, you know. Well, if somebody does this, then they're going to hear it from me because, you know, and so they've got that attitude, and they come in and they learn a Bible verse or two, and they try to patch it on there. You know, remember back riding bicycle days, you know, you get a flat tire and you had to put that patch on there. And so some people, that's what they're doing. That's what they want to do. They want to take a Bible verse and patch it on to their old way of life like a Band-Aid, thinking that that's going to hold. That's going to work, but he says it won't do it. Amen. It won't do it. What's wrong with that? You understand why you can't just add something to that old way of life? Rat poison. You ever get rats, you know, or mice, you know? Hopefully you don't have rats. But they say that 90% of the rat poisoning is food that's good for them, and they love it. It's delicious. 10% of it then is poison. You know what happens when they eat that mixture? Even though it's just got that small amount of poisoning in there, it kills them off. Even a little bit of worldly wisdom in your walk will wreck your life. Not only will you be unstable, it'll produce an evil work, he says there in verse 16, the last part of it there. It'll evil work, flawed, foul, worthless practices that will not help you nor those round about you as well. You'll always suffer problems when you try to live with one foot in the world and the other foot in the Word. James chapter 1, verse 8 told us this. And he said this in verse 8. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Tossed like a bottle on the ocean, back and forth. You ever wonder why? Why that, you know, okay, I'm going to church and I've been baptized and I'm learning the Bible and I'm going to Sunday school and I'm doing all these things, but my life is still kind of chaotic and it's back and forth and on and on. It's because you're not into the Word. You're not asking God, God, help me to take and apply this to my life. Give me the wisdom to use this for your glory and for the good of those round about me as well. You know, the best of both worlds sounds like it will work, but Proverbs says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And then let me ask you this. Are you satisfied with the peace provided by the Maker's wisdom? Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You allow God to work in your life, change your heart, live a peaceful life. Everything else around about you can be chaotic, confusion, turmoil, anger, death, destruction, but within can be a life of peace. Peace amidst the turmoil because it's inside. It's not about the circumstances that are around about you. The only way you're going to experience a harvest of peace in your life is to live by His rules. It's that simple. Paul said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Divine wisdom says, if I submit to God, He'll take me where He wants me to go. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fuss. I don't have to fume. I don't have to fall apart. And I can sleep at night because God's in control. I don't have to be jealous of what I don't have and what the neighbor has and so forth as well. I don't have to prove that I'm such and such and so because God's got a plan for my life. Applying God's Word for wisdom can be painful at times. You'll want to go back to the old way of life and get even instead of being patient with them, instead of loving them. But the result of living according to God's word is a happy, healthy life that treats others with dignity and points others to the cause of Christ as well. A Christian living like the world is not something that brings glory to God. It's harmful to the church. And so it's a whole new way of life when you begin to live according to God's word and God's wisdom. Marriages, homes, and churches are in trouble today, not because we don't know the truth, because we don't show the truth in our lives. It's not at work in our lives. Living wisely is not about schemes and success and, you know, about it's about priorities and principles, God's priorities, God's principles in life. Biblical wisdom doesn't tell us how to make a living, but how to live. That's why we need to first learn it and ask God to give it, to give the wisdom. He says, ask. Don't be afraid to ask, he says. And he also said, let me find the verse here, what I'm looking for. I've got it here. Yeah. Anyway. Verse 17, chapter 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That's that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, self-control, that meekness. That is every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God will do what He says. You learn it. Ask God. God, I need wisdom in this. In this situation in my life. I know what Your Word says. Help me to apply it to my life. Stand with me. The very last verse of Job. In Job, you remember the story of Job. The very last verse, Job 28:28 says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." What is wise living? It's feasting on God's Word, finding His will for your life, and following His way in your life as well. Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, reverencing what He says about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's where wisdom begins. It begins in Jesus Christ alone. Admitting your sinfulness. He's holy and righteous, God's Son. And I believe that He died on Calvary's cross for my sin. And I want Him to come into my heart and life. There's where wisdom begins. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then you come. You're here today, and we've just been learning God's Word. We're having the problem applying it. Come and ask God. God, give me wisdom. He says, ask, and He'll give it to you liberally, the Bible says. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your Word. Help us, Lord, just to be honest before You. You know where we stand in our relationship before You and Your Word. Lord, we want to be wise in Your Word, not just to hear it, but to live it out, to be obedient to it. And so I pray, Lord, that You would work in our hearts and lives as you stir our hearts to the areas that we stand in need of here today. Lord, may we all ask, Lord, help me to apply it to my life. Others depend on it. Your glory, I want to shine before others. And so I pray, Lord, this day You might change me and give me that conviction and a commitment to press forward as never before. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. What song are we going to sing?